The opinions and views expressed in Dead Men Do Tell Tales and all affiliated media are Jordan and Nicole's and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of their training program or others working in the field of medico-legal death investigation. Hey everyone.
Welcome to Dead Men Do Tell Tales,
a podcast about forensic pathology related topics.
I'm Nicole Kroom.
And I'm Jordan Taylor.
And we're both pathology residents who are going into forensic pathology.
Times two. So we are recording our pre-Christmas episode, and when we were trying to think of what we wanted to talk about before the holidays, we threw around a couple ideas, and we thought about why people tended to associate the holidays with an increase in deaths. And is it a real thing? Are there actually more deaths around the holidays? So we wanted to answer the three questions. Does mortality from natural death cause spikes around Christmas and New Year's? If so, does it exist for all major diseases and groups or just specialized groups? And are Christmas and New Year's risk factors for death?
Ba-bum-bum!
And we're going to go through a handful of actual studies that have looked at this rather than colloquial things that people have looked at over the years. So collections of data on death certificates and things like that trended over time. So hopefully these are like real scientific things and not just like, I heard this thing once, so I think it must be true.
Or I vaguely noticed this thing.
Exactly. So the first study I'm going to talk about really briefly is the author Phillips et al. And this was written in 2004. And they essentially looked at cardiac versus non-cardiac deaths, and they found that more cardiac and non-cardiac deaths occurred than would be expected if the holidays did not affect mortality. So essentially, there was an increase in cardiac and non-cardiac deaths around Christmas and New Year's. But since they didn't do particularly specific and granular research, they said that more research should be done. And then they did more research and found...
And found in their 2010 study, they looked at U.S. death certificates from 1979 to 2004, and this was over 57 million death certificates.
So many. Can you imagine 57 million death certificates?
Oh, that would be so many to look through. I bet they had a ton of, like, med students like, acknowledged on this. So they looked at daily mortality levels around Christmas and New Year. So they found that on Christmas and New Year, mortality from natural causes did have spikes in particular settings. So dead on arrival, so people who arrive into the hospital or emergency department and are already dead.
Or DOA, or, as we DOA. Colloquially call it.
People who get to the emergency department, they are still alive, and then they die. So those two locations had big spikes for Christmas and New Year.
And, well, it was Christmas,
the day after Christmas.
Yes, so the 25th, the 26th,
and then the 1st of January. Yeah. And then for the DOA and ED settings, the holiday spikes were for these top five diseases. So cardiovascular diseases, neoplasm, so cancer, respiratory diseases, lung issues, endocrine, nutritional, and metabolic diseases, and then digestive diseases. And the spikes occurred in all demographic groups except for children. And in the 2 weeks starting with Christmas, they found that there were an excess of 42,325 deaths from natural causes above and beyond the normal winter increase for that 25-year study period.
And deaths outside of these settings, so non-DOA, non-ED settings, did not show holiday spikes. So this was really restricted to people that were DOA or people that were died in the ED.
Yes. And they had several hypotheses for why these spikes might be occurring. So the first one was psychological stress. So, you know, around the holidays, you're like getting together with family, you're worried about gifts, travel, etc. So they thought that maybe increased levels of psychological stress could cause these spikes in natural death. However, there have not been any rigorous studies to support this, so they couldn't definitively say that this could be a cause or a risk factor. The next hypothesis they had were overcrowded emergency departments. This is consistent with their findings because it would affect a wide range of diseases, which they found, and a wide range of people, which they also found. So this hypothesis is supported by the fact that emergency department crowding and the size of the Christmas and New Year spikes have both increased over time, and the conditions requiring immediate attention show particularly large holiday spikes. So the things that you would present to the emergency department with have higher spikes than things that you might not. So a lot of people coming into the emergency department, so not everybody's getting the level of attention they might need. More deaths are happening. But the evidence could also be consistent with other possible holiday-related changes in medical care, they thought. So, you know, medical professionals, like other people, try to take breaks during the holidays, or patients increasingly try to avoid coming into the hospital.
Or leave the hospital. They have a chronic illness and they're like, well, I really want to be home for Christmas. So they go home and then they're not having hospital level monitoring, so then they get sick and die at home.
Or get sick and then try to come in and they're dead on arrival, or they're in the emergency department and they die. So that could also account for the spikes. But something else that contradicts this finding was that other studies have shown that hospital workload and staff shortages are not found to be associated with excess mortality in patients that are admitted during weekends and other public holidays. So, like, it wouldn't explain why Christmas and New Year's specifically cause this spike with overcrowded emergency departments. The third hypothesis they had was something they called displacement, which is less help seeking. So as Jordan mentioned, a lot of terminally ill patients might prefer to spend the holidays at home with their family rather than be in the hospital. But if this displacement is the case, there should overall be no net change in deaths around the holidays. So the increase in dead on arrival and emergency department deaths should be accompanied by a drop in inpatient deaths, which they found could be plausible for cancer patients because the cancer deaths spiked around Christmas and New Year's, but for all settings combined, there was no spike. But it wasn't plausible for other causes of death that they looked at. Their fourth hypothesis was travel, which they thought was not very plausible because most of the decedents they were looking at died in their home counties.
And by most, it's like 93%. So yeah. It's essentially all died in their home counties, but maybe a family member was traveling, so they're stressed out.
Their fifth hypothesis was something they called postponement. So some persons are able to postpone death briefly in order to reach symbolic occasions. But they thought that that meant that Christmas and New Year spikes should be preceded by some sort of drop in the death rate, which they are not. So they thought postponement was not likely.
And there's also wasn't a subsequent decrease in deaths. So it's not like they died then and then didn't die later.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another hypothesis they have was unknown death date. So decedents with unknown death dates might be assigned a code as dying on January 1st just because of clerical decisions, but they thought that this wouldn't account for excess deaths around Christmas nor for elevated mortality that they saw on days following New Year. Yep. So they thought that that was unlikely. Another hypothesis they had was influenza and pneumonia, which are big in winter and increase your risk of death from dying from other diseases, but the yearly size of the influenza and pneumonia holiday spike was not correlated with the yearly size of the holiday spike for these other diseases. Another thing they thought about was cold weather, but they said that it was hard to understand why cold weather would be able to produce these two distinct spikes, so they were kind of hemming and hawing about that one. And then their last hypothesis was external causes, including substance use, which they thought was unlikely because the mortality spikes for disease didn't diminish significantly when the analysis was restricted to death certificates that had no mention of substance abuse or external causes. But they also said that those aren't always documented on the death certificate, so maybe there was. So this is all just from their second 2010 study, but a study in Sweden also found similar Christmas and New Year's peaks in their population, specifically for heart attacks. And the highest risk was observed for Christmas Eve. And the results were the most pronounced in patients aged over 75 and those with diabetes or a known history of coronary artery disease.
Which for me was kind of like, yeah, no surprise there.
Yeah. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yes, exactly.
But it's always good to have confirmatory studies.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely one of those, like, there's no harm in double checking and it's going to be, yeah.
In fact, we don't actually take one study for concrete evidence.
As we'll go into, there's multiple studies on this that we found. So there's a lot of data, luckily, that people have done into this, and hopefully we'll have a good idea.
Yeah.
Was that all you had for that one?
Mm-hmm.
The highest risk, as Nicole said, was on Christmas Eve. It was 37% higher than the control period, which is really high, and it was centered around 10 p.m. So it was actually later in the evening on Christmas Eve. And yeah, it was kind of interesting because there were previous studies that showed that myocardial infarction risk increases with acute experiences of anger, anxiety, sadness, grief, and stress. And so kind of lumped that into all the emotions you get on Christmas Eve, and they thought that might have something to do with it. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. And there have been other studies that show a sort of circadian rhythm to the risk of heart attacks as well. So I guess the fact that they mention a specific time isn't too surprising to me.
Yes, exactly. They also said on New Year's Day, there was a 20% higher risk, so slightly less than Christmas Eve. And they attributed this to maybe excess alcohol, food, cold, or sleep deprivation, which all makes sense because, you know, New Year's Eve, you're not sleeping much. And then New Year's Day, you have to pretend to function like a human.
Maybe. I think we get the day off, though, don't we?
We do, yes. Some people do not, though. They also, interestingly, looked into some other things. So they looked into another holiday that the Swedes have called Midsummer, which they showed that there was a slight increase in risk in men than women over that time, but there wasn't overall an increased risk of death, which, you know, it's showing that it really, for some reason for them, is still Christmas and New Year's Eve. They also looked at sports events, so which you would think would be higher stress, anxiety, and could lead to something, but sports events were not associated with higher risks of myocardial infarctions. And so overall, higher risks were on calendar week 52, on Mondays, and around 8 a.m. So it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of things, but like the days were Christmas Eve and New Year's, but
so not surprised about Mondays.
No.
Mondays are the worst.
This Monday was particularly bad.
Well, you got slammed on the blood bank, so.
And Nicole mentioned earlier that one of the leading hypotheses in the Northern Hemisphere for increasing deaths on Christmas and New Year's was the cold. So why don't we look into this somewhere in the Southern Hemisphere, where it's not actually cold on Christmas and New Year's? So they looked into this in New Zealand, which obviously is in the Southern Hemisphere, and so their Christmas is pretty mild. And they looked at mortality data from 1988 to 2013, and they saw that the Christmas holiday, there was an excess event rate of 4.2%, or about four more deaths expected per year around the Christmas holiday than would be otherwise. They saw that the average age of those with fatal cardiac arrhythmias was about a year younger than any other time point. They said 148 to 222 years of lost life per year, which I thought was really interesting. And some of their thoughts after this study is like, so as we discussed earlier, some of the thoughts with cold weather is like, maybe respiratory diseases can cause this, but it's summer there and respiratory diseases aren't increased, so it probably isn't that aspect of the cold. They thought that maybe it was due to increased pollution, because in cold weather climates there's more heaters on and that kind of thing, so there's increased pollution due to heating, but there isn't that in the summer, so that's probably not it. And the other thing that was associated earlier was a reporting effect, but if it's across this huge large study set across multiple countries, it's less likely. Again, not totally ruled out, but less likely. They said they couldn't rule out changes in diet and alcohol consumption, because that still happens in New Zealand. They couldn't rule out emotional stress with the holidays, because holidays are stressful no matter where you are. And especially the things they highlighted from the prior study that Nicole talked about was inappropriate delay of seeking care. So I want to spend another day with my family, I'll go in tomorrow. And then they die and get brought into the hospital. And displacement of death. So being able to keep oneself alive for the holiday, but not quite making it all the way through the holiday.
Yeah.
And then an interesting study that I found from Germany by Medenwald et al. In 2013, they looked at cancer deaths between 1995 and 2009. And they said that there were noticeably more than expected deaths in the week preceding Christmas. So it's not just the day, but it's the week before Christmas. Prior weeks in the week after return to baseline. And of note, there isn't a peak around New Year, so this is pretty much just held to Christmas. There is no relative difference between grades of malignancy, so it's kind of steady across all cancers. But the trends were more present for people that were married, people that were religious, people that women, and then there were some trends within those. So it was still, so I said it's more significant for believers, but it was still present in atheists. So, you know, if you weren't religious, you still had this increased trend in the week before Christmas.
Oh, no. So the only way I can protect myself is to not get married, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it was interesting, actually. It was significant for married people. And then, like, the next, like, most significant was widowed and then divorced and then single. But the only thing that was really significant was people that were married.
Okay, so I guess,
so it's like holding themselves out for their partner.
If you like it, then you shouldn't put a ring on it.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that. Can we do the dance too?
This is the only part of the dance I know. I'm doing that, the hand rotating thing for, you know, those who are listening, which is everybody, because we do not currently video cast and never will.
Nope, not going to happen. Too many hoodies.
Yep.
The other thing that this study looked at was, so in Germany, the predominant holidays are Christmas and Easter. And again, this is true for religious and non-religious people because they're also state holidays. And they didn't see the same increase before or after Easter. They also looked around decedents' birthdays. And there was no significant spike before or after or during birthdays. So this was really, in this study for cancer deaths, held to the week before Christmas. And so there were, it was interesting with the, when I said that non-believers had similar spikes. And they said that this is probably because this holiday is really becoming less associated with religion and more just associated with family and the generic holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't need to be a Christian to celebrate Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not Christian.
I'm not either.
I celebrate Christmas.
Yes.
Because I love giving and getting presents. It's the best.
Yeah.
And looking food.
At light. Oh, yeah. Food.
Mm-hmm. Music. It's great.
Music I could take or leave. Oh my gosh, there are like five Christmas songs.
And the fire is so delightful.
There is no snow here. There's no snow here.
And then the other study that I found around the Christmas phenomenon, Christmas holiday phenomenon, there is this enzyme called SULT1A. I'll call SULT1A. And they were curious if sudden cardiac deaths on the holidays was a real phenomenon. So we all know that we have a lot more stress around holidays. And one of the things that happen with stress are catecholamine surging. So dopamine and adrenaline is surging. And this can happen with both good experiences, bad experiences. You're happy somebody's home. You're stressed. You're going to have to see a relative after a long time. Lots of stuff could be happening. So there's a lot of stressful situations, both good and bad. Also, there's more eating and drinking around the holidays.
Say what?
I know. We don't drink. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, seriously. No.
So there is this enzyme called SULT1A that one of its jobs is to help remove excess catecholamine, so dopamine, adrenaline, etc., from your system.
But then it gets salty and stops functioning?
Wow. Less revolutions for you.
More revolutions. No, less revolutions.
Less revolutions, more minerals. So certain foods that you can eat inhibit SULT1A, including coffee, tea, chocolate, vanilla, bananas, and citrus fruit.
So all of the good things in life?
So if you eat all of those, you essentially get more catecholamines.
Mm.
A good way of explaining this is sometimes when you drink a lot of alcohol, you get a headache. And that headache can be from increased catecholamines.
Ah.
So, what the theory is you're already stressed out with all these extra catecholamines.
Uh-huh.
You're eating food that suppresses this enzyme that takes out catecholamines.
Okay.
So you have more catecholamines naturally. You're eating, which is making more catecholamines. You're not removing catecholamines. And you just have this kind of surge of all this extra adrenaline and dopamine and stuff in your system that can cause this surge and can cause an increased risk of sudden cardiac death.
Oof.
So there's a couple things with this that are like, you know, well, what if I eat less of this stuff overall in my life? What if I eat less coffee, tea, chocolate? So if you eat less of those, you eat less of the inhibitor, your body can actually downregulate this enzyme. So you have less enzyme to take out the catecholamine. So then you still go into this and you still get a lot of energy and you just have less enzyme to remove that adrenaline. And the other thing is you do really need to eat a lot of this inhibitor for it to be susceptible.
Mm-hmm.
But the theory is like maybe you could be a person who is susceptible to these inhibitors at baseline.
Yeah.
And so while this is not definitive in any way, it's a theory onto how all of these things could come together and give you a biomechanical reason for why this might happen.
Mm.
So I would not say this is fully proven in any way, but it is a theory out there as to why with increased stress and more food, you could actually lead to more sudden cardiac deaths and cardiovascular incidents because you are changing yourself. You're changing your adrenaline, dopamine, and all that other stuff in your system.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
Science.
Less revolutions, more caffeine.
It's true. I have had a lot of caffeine lately.
Yeah. So Jordan mentioned Midsommar earlier. Midsommar is, I guess, the movie by the same guy that did Hereditary. Very good. Very creepy. Yeah. Excellent. But these spikes are not unique to Christmas and New Year's. There's also Iranian New Year, which is called Nowruz. And it's a two-week holiday, which marks the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere and usually occurs around March 21st. And there was a study that found that there was a spike in deaths around this holiday. And the deaths occurred primarily in males and people aged 60 to 79 years old. More than half of the deaths occurred during the morning shift.
Which I found funny or interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's kind of true with the sudden cardiac death part, too, but, like, why the morning? Because, like, they just don't want to go in until the morning? I don't know. It just seems strange.
Well, I guess you're sleeping at night, so you don't realize until you wake up.
I think there's less of a morning shift, right? The morning shift ends at noon. You're awake for more of the day in the afternoon and evening shifts.
I guess that's true. Who knows?
I just think it was interesting.
It's a circadian rhythm thing.
Yeah, that's true.
The leading cause of the holiday deaths were injuries, poisoning, and other consequences of external causes, which was different than what we were seeing in these other studies, which were mostly natural.
Yeah, they talked a little bit about, like, increased traffic deaths in this one, which I thought, I mean, you travel for holidays, so I guess I can see it. But I guess I'm more surprised it doesn't show up in other data than it does show up in this one.
Yeah. And then most of the deaths occurred in the ICU as opposed to the ED or dead on arrival, which we saw in that big Phillips study.
I wonder how much of that was quick transfer of care for them to the ICU, though, versus, you know, they'll just call it or work them up more in the ED here before they transfer them. So just throwing it out there.
Yeah. And then the death rate per day during the Nowruz holidays was higher than it was during working days and
Non-holidays,
yeah. So, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's not just New Year's and Christmas, but although this is a type of New Year's.
Exactly. It's kind of like it is cultural. Yes. I guess it kind of like adds to the fact that it's a cultural thing and it's not just, you know, December 25th and January 1st. It is the idea around those holidays that shows trends across the world and it's not just the U.S.
Yes.
And then the other myth that we just wanted to dispel quickly is increased suicides around the holiday. I think there's this, it's out there because a lot of different media sources posted that, oh, suicides go way up around the holidays. That's actually completely and totally false.
Not completely and totally false.
The December is the lowest suicide rate of any month.
Yes. Studies have found that the lowest rate is in December, but there is an increased rate of suicide and attempts on New Year's Day or New Year's Day. So Christmas,
I
see. Okay. Fine.
I guess, I, yeah, that's true. Okay, I guess I was thinking about Christmas, but that's fair.
So in terms of New Year's, there was a study in Sweden that found an unusually high number of suicides on New Year's Day, but it was preceded by an unusually low number of suicides on New Year's Eve, and then the average of the 2 days was only slightly higher than the mean of the total period. So they thought that there was a delay rather than a spontaneous increase of suicides. So their observation supported this, like, broken promise hypothesis, which is that, you know, there's an increase in suicide directly after the holidays because of these unmet expectations that you have during the holidays. But their study also found that it was predominantly men, especially younger and middle-aged men. So they weren't sure why those men would be more vulnerable to the broken effect promise. And they thought maybe it could be heavier alcohol consumption because intoxication increases other risk factors for suicide, like getting into fights, being more aggressive, you know, and impulsivity. So while it is true that December is the lowest for suicide, New Year's Day, there is an increase in at least the US, Denmark, and Austria that they have found in various studies. But if you or a loved one are struggling, get help.
Agreed.
Yes.
We'll post more suicide hotline numbers. Reach out to somebody, please.
Yes.
So I guess thinking of, you know, we'll post it somewhere and also post to social feeds.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was bad, guys. I don't think we're going to be able to come up with a better one.
I know. Maybe ending with suicide was not the best idea for this episode.
I mean, to be fair, this is all an increased deaths around the holidays, so I don't think that there was going to be a good, happy way to end it.
Yeah. Maybe we should have thought about, like, a little cheery story to tell at the end, although.
So in terms of little cheery stories, Nicole finally has George back. George has been gone for a couple months. Well, not gone, but at Nicole's family's house for a couple months. And now he's back and he's been cuddling with me for a couple episodes. And my cat now has an Instagram account.
Oh, yeah.
So you can follow her at Cole underscore kitty. Cole is K-O-H-L underscore K-I-T-T-Y. And speaking of following our cats on social media, you can follow us on social media.
There, this is a much better segue. Okay. So if you liked this and any of our other episodes, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. It's how we get boosted up on the various podcasting platforms and other people learn about us.
You can visit our website at deadmendotellpodcast.com, where we linked all of our sources in our episode guide.
On Twitter, we're at deadmendo.
On Insta, we're at the Dead Tell Tales.
And our Facebook page is Dead Men Do Tell Tales Podcast.
You can always send us an email through the website or directly to thedeadtelltales@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concern, cute pictures of your cats, asking to see cute pictures of our cats.
Oh my gosh. Cute pictures of your cats? Yes.
Yes, please.
Or just, like, tag us in social media with cute pictures
of your cats. At deadmendo.
Or other pets. Like, if you have an armadillo, I don't know why that was the first thing to pop into my head, but I want to see a tag picture of at deadmendo. Why armadillo? I have no idea.
It's amazing.
Thanks. And our opening theme music is Introducing the Pre-Roll by Lee Rosevere, who you can find on SoundCloud.
Have an amazing holiday, everyone.
Yes, whatever you're celebrating, I hope you are able to do so with as few restrictions as possible during this awful, awful year.
And Happy New Year.
Yes. And
make all your resolutions.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
He's kind of purring.
Aw. So cute. Oh my gosh. He's so cute.
He is. You got a cute one.
I know.